Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, lover. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be with you this week. I'm sitting here in sunny Hawaii, Oahu, and we weathered the two hurricanes, which was wonderful. Looking forward to today's show. If you want to call in, the number is 347-945-5428. 347-945-5428. I'm excited today. The first half of our show, we're going to talk about title insurance. And the second half, as usual, we switch to another topic, and that's going to be if you're living to the highest and best use of what you want in life. So first half, though, we have our guest I'm going to introduce in just a minute is Craig Endo. He has been in the industry for over 25 years, and it's such a pleasure to I remember Craig years ago, and it's just a pleasure to be having him on our show. So we'll get started pretty quick. We've got a lot to cover in the first half, and I think Craig is with us now, too. Okay, so Craig, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show, Natalie. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and your bio is so impressive. He's Vice President of Branch Manager of Kahala Old Republic Title and Escrow. You've been in the industry for 25 years, and he brings a wealth of knowledge and experience, including general and commercial escrow, exchanges, and lending. Craig started with TG Exchange in 1989 and was then promoted as manager in 1994. He also developed their leasehold disclosure subsidiary, TG Disclosure, which later merged with DocuTrieve. He was then promoted to branch manager of TG's Kailua branch in 1999 and then managed their King Street branch in 2006. He joined Central Pacific Bank as a home loan consultant in 2012, then First American Title in 2013. Wow, you know this business like the back of your hand, I'll tell you, and you've really done a lot. This is so exciting, and Craig's here right in Hawaii. A lot of our listeners are listening from other areas, other states, some worldwide. Many listeners listen it too late, so you're going to get some really wonderful detailed information about title insurance, and this is going to relate to the United States. Craig's going to be specifically giving us some wonderful examples as well. So a topic that, Craig, you and I, after all the years in the business, we might say, oh, that sounds boring, right? Or,
right.
You know, title insurance. Or, gosh, we already know the answers to title insurance. And it's amazing. So many people don't know, and so many people get in trouble with title insurance without having it. So what is title insurance?
Well, basically, you know, title insurance is very different from, let's say, the homeowner's insurance or auto insurance, which is typically called like your casualty insurance. So title insurance protects the buyer or the lender from when the transaction closes back, where the difference in like a regular auto or homeowner's insurance protects the purchaser from the date forward. So that's one difference there. And the second difference is, like, for title insurance, is there's just one-time premium. So there's one premium that you pay that covers for as long as you own the property, whereas, as you know, homeowners or auto insurance, you have to, you know, pay an annual premium. So that's kind of like some of the differences just between the two types of insurance.
That's and so title insurance is when somebody's buying a property, buying a house, that they should get it right when they're closing, right? When do they actually buy it? And title insurance is so important to have. I just remember so many stories. And when you got in the business years ago and I got in the business in 85, I've actually went to closings where the people sometimes were not asked for their identification, which it seems unheard of these days, right? Because
because there's so much things with fraud and all those kind of things going on, right?
Yeah. It's really, and being in Hawaii, you do a lot of closings, and your company does a lot of closings, I would imagine, from all over the world, right? So you have to really make sure that whoever is sitting at the table is really who's the right party. Title insurance, because this mentioning that's going to, I'm going to jump back to that in a minute, about a couple stories that happen and can happen if you don't have title insurance. So give me some examples. What does it actually insure? Like what does it protect a buyer from when they buy the property and now they're the property owner?
And typically, it protects them from various defects in title. It could be ownership. It could be a claim. It could be unrecorded. It could be a lien of some sort that comes up. So some of the ones that we've heard of that have come up in the past is where somebody may claim an ownership in the property, and then what happens typically is then the title insurance or the title company will go and defend against that claim. So some of those things, you know, you really don't know. You have to, and that's why that's important to get the title insurance. You want to make sure that the property that you're buying, what the state of the title is at the time you close is what it truly is, because, you know, you never know these days, you know?
Yeah. No, Craig, if you have a situation and there's a it could cover, say, I've heard situations in Hawaii where there were some condo buildings that were built, I won't name names or anything, that actually, of course, years ago, the proper easements weren't obtained. So you could actually end up in a situation where a property was landlocked, et cetera. So if somebody had title insurance, say one of these condo owners that was in a situation like that, would it typically the title insurance have covered that situation?
Yeah, certain types of, because they have different levels of title insurance, and some of them will protect for actual access. Most title insurance will just tell you that you have recorded access, which could mean just that you have a way to the property. It doesn't mean you physically have access, and there are different policies that cover you for that too. So just double check when you're going to the table. Check with your title company to make sure about those kind of questions when you get there, because there are different policies and they do cover different things.
And there's times that possibly the title insurance company would, if there's something they're not going to cover, they would let you as a buyer know at the table, right? Pretty much like we're going to cover this, but we're exempting this.
Right. So all that due diligence and that work is done ahead of time so that when you come to closing, you have all of that information and that you go through that at closing to understand what the status of the property is at the time. And if there's anything on that comes up, on the title report is what we typically use, then the escrow officer or the title officer would go over with the client to let them know these are the things that the property is subject to, so that you know when you close, that's what you got. And anything like that, a red flag would stand out, then, you know, the escrow officer or the title officer would let the clients know.
Wow, you are worth your weight in gold. I would never, ever, ever, after all these years in the business, buy a property without title insurance. And you have some situations, what if somebody says we don't even need title work, right? What if they don't even need the title research? They just want to draw up a document, sell it to each other, they know each other, let an attorney just or somebody record it at the county. That could be very, very risky, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yeah, because, you typically don't know. Even that person may have gotten the property through family or a relative or something, so they never maybe got the title insurance at the time or the property search. So they might not even know what items are of record that affect that property. You know, you could have, like you said, easements. You could have access issues. You could have old liens or old mortgages that haven't been released. You know, a whole host of things that if you don't get the title insurance at the time when you purchase it and you then go around and try to sell it or get a mortgage on it, all of those things are going to come up, and at that point, it's going to be very difficult to get those items cleared because the seller or the individual might not have the information. It might not even be here anymore or available.
I've run into situations in the years in the business where properties where we had to go back to the chains, and people, right, may have passed on, or there could have been multiple owners, and even it's just a big mess.
A common one would be even a title change as far as marital status, or someone who's a trustee, you know, passes away and there's a successor trustee to step in. All of those things, you know, there's documents that show what will happen in the chain of title, but they may not be recorded. So as far as having the documents of record, that's when the title insurance or the title company comes into play to help get all those pieces put of record so that everybody knows what the status of the title is.
Wow, and it doesn't really cost that much, right? The owner's title insurance, when you look at the cost of the property versus the cost of the insurance, it's pretty reasonable, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's minimal. You know, and at the time you're closing, those costs are split between the parties anyway. So there, you know, the other side is typically paying a portion of the cost, and it's like I said earlier, it's just a one-time charge for as long as you own the property. It's not like auto insurance where you have to pay that every year.
You know, because going back to what we were saying with somebody, now they, of course, take licenses and make sure you are who you are. And, of course, things with internet fraud, and there's so many things that can happen nowadays. But years ago, it wasn't uncommon for somebody to go to a closing settlement and them not ask for IDs. So, you know, somebody could have been sitting in as someone's ex-wife or wife, somebody's relative, you know, documents are signed, everybody trusted everybody, and all of a sudden somebody does come back and want that property back or want their rights to that property. So if someone knocks on your door, you get a letter from an attorney or from the courts, and they say, hey, we want this. We have access, you know, we want our rights to the property. If you had not bought title insurance, you could end up spending a fortune in lawyers' legal fees to protect your rights and your property. If you bought title insurance,
exactly,
right? Don't you just? If you have title insurance, you can say, you know what, this is my peace of mind. Here's my title insurance policy. Call them.
Right, and then that's when we would then step in. So you would just refer that claim to us, and then we would step in and take a look at the transaction and what, you know, the status of the property is, and take it from there. So even looking, like you were saying, you know, the cost, if you don't have the policy, you would have to hire an attorney, you know, to go ahead and help represent you to defend that. And that cost alone would probably be more than what the cost of the title policy would have been when you...
Just for a couple hours of review, consultation.
Right.
The actual cost to get it taken care of might be astronomical.
Right.
And this is such an important, you know, whether you're buying the property, even if it's an investment, or if it's your own home or whatever, it's such an important decision and a lot of money that you're spending. It really makes sense to get title insurance, you know. So on the average, I know it's going to be different in different areas, but say it's a $500,000 property, you know, $1 million, or just a guesstimate, what would somebody pay approximately for a $500,000 property?
It's probably the total cost would probably be about $2,000, and again, that would be split between the seller and the buyer. So the seller is typically paying 60%, and the buyers would pay 40% of that.
Yeah. Okay. So, and even policies can be a lot less too, just based on the price of the house, right? The price of the property.
Right.
I mean, the mortgage and stuff. Right. I mean, not the mortgage.
Right.
I mean, the property. But, so these are, you know, I tell you, I've seen situations over the years as well that somebody paid off their loans, and the mortgage wasn't released. You know, it's still showing that they owe the money, and there could have been private lenders. I've seen situations where, you know, some people came in and lent them a second loan, a small thing. The person disappeared. The company folded up. You know, lots and lots of situations that could end up posing a problem because if, as a title escrow company, if you're selling the property or you're, you know, handling the property and there's a loan on the property, you can't release it, right, if it's not released, if you don't have any way to, right, Craig, you can't make an exception unless the title company, the title insurance, the previous title insurance picks it up, right? If there's something.
Yeah, that's a very good point too, because that's another common thing where there will be an old mortgage that's still lingering on the property from the, you know, previous owner, or it could even be two owners or three owners ago, where the lender got paid off and never filed a release to release that lien. So then, you know, you can come back to the title company and ask them, can you do the research to make sure that we can get the lien released, you know? Or through the course of the transaction, the escrow title company will help and try to obtain and get that release for you as well, too. Because as a, you know, as a buyer, it would be very difficult for you to try to do that on your own.
Wow, what peace of mind. So what's the what's the difference between lender's title insurance and owner's title insurance?
So for owners, that would be typically what the buyer would get, and that would protect the buyer. The lender's policy typically is when you get a loan, the bank itself would want a policy just to make sure that they are in first position and that the status of the property is what it is. So always the lender will require a policy whether the buyer gets one or not.
And you want to follow suit of the lender because the lender's not going to do it, so you shouldn't do it either, right? Not have a policy.
Correct, yeah. I've never heard of any bank loaning money without getting a policy yet.
They're smart, you know, and that's why
you
have to have it. It's just that insurance is really, you know, lots of us don't want to pay for insurance, but when we need it, it certainly is a blessing, you know. It's such a big, large expense that you're spending, and I would never not do it. So the owner's title insurance is pretty much optional, which is why a lot of people skip it, I guess, right? And they shouldn't skip it. They should definitely buy it, right, when you're in the deal.
Right, because either way, the lender's going to require one, so you might as well. I mean, the cost then would just be nominal for the difference, because whenever we issue a policy to the owner, usually the cost for the lender's policy is a couple $100 more. So it's not that much.
Okay.
More.
So if you're saying about $2,000, because it's even less sometimes, right? So part of that, that's the owner's or both? It's kind of mixed in.
That's the seller. Yeah, that would be the seller's and the buyer's cost. So typically, you know, the buyer would pay 40% of that. So at $500,000, maybe it'd be about $800.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah,
not bad at all.
But again, it's a one-time premium, and it'll last you for the life of however long you own the property.
It's definitely, I think, and you want to use an escrow title company when you're selling, because you all do all the work of the researching these problems, right? So it really needs to. You shouldn't just sell the property to somebody privately and just record it yourself, because without finding out what other defects or what items may be on the title, right? Because they may not be aware of it as well.
Right. We talked earlier, it could be an old loan. It could be, something happened where somebody changed title, their name changed, they got married or divorced, or a trustee changed. All those things come into play that a lot of times people don't think about. You know, they just, because they figure I'm the owner. But yeah, you're the owner, but you're the trustee of the trust. You know, so there's a lot of different things that come into play.
I had three properties to sell for a seller here in Hawaii years back, and it was over near Wahiwa. All the properties were landlocked from years ago. The whole street, it's like a small street,
wow,
was landlocked. It was unbelievable. He had bought the properties before I knew him, and he had taken out, I don't know how it got happened, but he had taken out owner's title on two of the three, but not on one. We were able to get the two sold and gone through. It took a lot of work. We ended up getting the insurance companies, of course, had to, you know, work on it.
Right.
But the third property, there wasn't much you could do, because nobody,
yeah,
unless somebody was going to pay cash and take the risk, because it was, you know, it's just, and he could have kicked himself. You know, he didn't know what happened that he failed to do it with, you know, he did it with two, but not one. So,
right. And again, like you said, right, the bank, if the bank is going to loan any kind of money on it, they're going to want the insurance. And if you can't get it at that point, then it's going to be real tough to sell unless you go with cash. You know, like you're saying, somebody comes up with cash to buy the property. And even if they do, I still would think it would be a good idea for them to go back to the title company to find out why, you know, they originally couldn't get the insurance and what things do you have to do to remedy that. So in the future, you know, the owner could then develop it or sell it and get, you know, get the insurance issued.
What is it called when you're selling your property and it's like, well, and you're selling your property and you want to use pass on your current title insurance. So when you're buying a property, you may be able to get a discount on the property you're buying from the current owner's insurance policy.
Correct. So a lot of title companies will offer a credit on that. You know, if the property is currently insured with the company, they may offer you, you know, a credit towards the cost of the new insurance. Or some companies, you know, like ours, have credits based on, you know, if you're a first-time home buyer or a senior citizen or an armed forces, all those kind of things. So you should always ask.
Oh, you do?
You know, the Old Republic does have
those awesome
credits. So we do investors and all types of things. So you should always ask when you come to the table and say, hey, you know, I'm in the military. Do you folks have any military discounts or, you know, that kind of stuff? Because then the escrow officer or the title officer can double check and then let you know if they can issue the credits.
What's it called? The reissue, like reissue title. That's what I was trying to think of the name. Reissue.
Correct. Yeah.
Insurance. So when you're selling your property and you or your agent asks, or you're buying a property and you or your agent says, okay, I know I'm going to get the owner's title insurance. Can I get a reissue rate? Can I get a cheaper thing? Craig, are they just taking the previous policy and reissuing it, or are they actually, you're giving them a new one and giving them a discount? Or are there two different things going on there?
Yeah, so they will get their own policy. The buyer and the lender will get a new policy for them. But when they say reissue, it's because title company could already be issuing insurance on the property, and because they're doing that, they will then give a credit to the new buyer.
So it'll be the same title insurance on it, the same company.
It could be the same company. And some companies offer that break even if they didn't insure the property. So it could be another company.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So if you're a buyer, you need to. It's good to ask, right? Because everything helps.
That's correct. You should
always ask. If it's even 20% off of $800, you just saved, you know, a couple hundred dollars there, right? So,
yeah.
Or off of $2,000, you save $400 maybe, or, you know, approximately.
Right. You should always check. And then again, then it's even a better deal, right? It's even better bargain because you're getting it for less and still having the coverage that you need that will give you that peace of mind. You know?
Oh, I love it. No, I just, you know, it's funny. It's like, and how these policies, say for example, you're buying the policy and the title company goes out of the actual escrow title, because in different states it's different, whether it's title states, escrows, et cetera, they go out of business. That the person who did your settlement, your closing, that's not going to affect you because the title policy is actually from an insurance company, or can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so the policy that you have, usually the escrow company and the title company are one and the same, but they could be different. You know, sometimes in the mainland they do have a smaller escrow company that will just go to an Old Republic or a, you know, Chicago Title or another national firm to get the insurance. So even though the escrow company goes out of business, you still have the title policy, which is still going to be valid.
Okay. Now, should they ask and make sure that it's like Chicago Title or Old Republic? I mean, have you ever heard of cases where the policies aren't good? Because I've been in the business, 20 and almost 30 years, and I haven't heard of any problems with the title insurance policies. You know how people hear about different insurances you can buy in life, and you hear about a company going belly up. Have you ever heard of anything ever happened, or are they pretty much covered? Huh?
Yeah, no, I've never heard of any title company. Now, there are where title companies acquire other title companies. So, like in Hawaii, right, we used to have Island Title, which was then acquired by First American Title. So if you had closed with Island Title and had an Island Title policy, that would still be valid through First American Title. So
so there's a chain that goes on, and it's more of an insurance policy. They don't have to worry that, hey, I'm taking this out for peace of mind. 15 years from now, there is a problem, and it's not any good, right? So I've heard that Eagle policy. What is the benefit of an Eagle policy, or is that just another name for a different type of policy?
Yeah,
that they get under owner's title?
Right. So the Eagle policy, or many, you know, title companies have this extended coverage policy. And some of the nice things about those types of policies is even though you're paying one time for the cost of the insurance, which covers you for the value or the sales price of the property. So say it's $500,000. Now, a policy like the Eagle policy will, one of the benefits of that is it will increase by 10% for 5 years. So now as your property value goes up, your title insurance value is going up as well. And you don't get that in a standard owner's policy. The other thing Eagles or extendeds cover typically could be things that you discover after the date of closing, like say it could be an encroachment or, you know, easement, those kind of things. Sometimes the policies will protect you on that. So things that are discovered after the
really?
Date of
closing. Wow.
Yeah. Whereas that's typically what... an owner's policy or a policy will cover you from the date of closing backwards.
So this is going to help you even. So if is it a lot more money to get the difference? I mean, just approximately, is it a lot more to get an extended coverage?
Typically for most title companies, it would be 10%. So on that example we used earlier at $2,000, then you would pay an additional $200.
Okay. So on the extended coverage or Eagle or whatever they're calling, different policies are like that, also help them, so it's really helping them moving forward, not so much backwards, is it? Or
it's both, yeah.
It's both, okay. So
yeah.
I'm just wondering, and the property goes up in value and it covers you, well, I'm just trying to, for as a listener listening in, and you and I have been in the business for years, so we know a lot of the things, but just trying to think of questions that somebody would ask that has no clue what this is, right?
Because yeah, you know, that's another good point, right, with the values appreciating so quickly. So say if you had got a title policy in the 80s, obviously now your property is worth a lot more than when it was when you bought. So the value of the policy at that point in time is only going to be for what you paid at the time of closing versus what...
Oh, that's a really good point. So
that's another point, yeah. So if you've never gotten title insurance or you say you acquired the property, you know, and you never got title, then you're not going to have coverage. But if you've gotten it a long time ago as well, that will only protect you for that value at the time unless you get another policy.
Okay, so, that is such a major point. So you buy the house in the 90s or early 90s for $200,000. Now it's worth $1 million. If something
right.
has, if
your
there's a problem.
Your policy's only going to protect you.
Okay, so basically, though, would it protect me if it's going to protect anything that goes wrong as long as you guys can fix it, right? Not you, but the title insurance can fix it.
Correct.
Or if it's going to cost too much money to fix or they can't fix it, then the maximum they're liable for is saying, hey, I'm only liable to give you what you paid?
Correct. So it would be the $200,000 or whatever it would be.
Okay. That extended policy, when you pay maybe 10% more for it, is that something that's typically common that it keeps going up with the market value or not?
Yeah. So it goes up 10% a year for 5 years. So that's...
Okay.
You know, if at $500,000, then the next year it'd be $550,000, and then so forth and so forth. The increase is 10% per year, and that takes into account the values of the property growing. So at least you have some assurance that, you know, I bought it at $500,000, but now my policy is worth a little bit more at the end. Yeah.
Okay, so no, that makes a lot of sense to check into that as well. But for anybody listening, when you're listening to the later, when you get the owner's title, you still, at the minimum, want to get the basic because they are going to fight for you for a lot of – there's a lot of issues that I've seen that are pretty easy issues to fix, but not easy if you were going to pay an attorney. You know, you would end up spending a lot more money out of pocket than what you would have paid for this original policy. So,
correct. You're exactly right. Yep.
So that you really want to get it. I mean, I would never not get it. But don't want to scare you thinking that, it's not really going to cover me. No, it's going to cover, I'd say, 99% of anything. But there are times that something can't be fixed, right? And but it's getting better and better. And I think with documents and systems and everything, it's much better than what the stories we would have heard, you know, years ago.
Oh,
but,
yeah. And I think clients, you know, sellers and owners and buyers are a little bit more savvy now, and with the technology of the internet and all those other things, a lot of people tend to do some research on their own, and we do see people asking a lot more questions, you know, at closing, like what does this mean or how does it affect the property? And that's why, like you were saying, you should always go through a reputable escrow and title company so they can help kind of guide you through that, you know.
Absolutely. Well, now, so this extended coverage, can you buy it after, you've already bought the property, you didn't say you didn't buy owner's title at all, and you didn't do it, and now you want to buy it. Is it too late once you close?
No, you can still go back to your title company and ask them and say, hey, you know what, we didn't get it at the time. What will it cost us to get it now? And the title company can do a little bit of research and then get back to you with a quote. And then you can decide, you know, if it's something that you want to pick up, you know, which we would recommend if you don't have any, or not. It'd be up to you at that point. But, yeah, you can always go back and ask them. Or say you got the basic owner's coverage and now you want to get the extended. You just definitely ask. They may or may not be able to issue that.
That's really great to know, you know, because I think many people would think once you're closed, you couldn't do anything.
Right.
That's really good to know. So, and that they probably would, I guess, would they charge you for a title search or they'd go back, I guess they'd have to do due diligence. Yeah.
Correct. They would have to still go back and review the property, the title company would, just to make sure that there's no changes, nothing has, you know, come up. Because the title company does do a lot of research to make sure that everything is, you know, correct and up to date. But it's only as good as the documents that are recorded. So if there's something off record, the title company might not know. But at least then they can try to double check on some of the things rather than having you go out and try to investigate all these things.
I'll tell you, I would never buy a piece of property. I've had people over the years just buying a lot, small lot. Oh, I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need it. I wouldn't even buy just a something, you know, small without it. It's just too risky.
Yeah, because then you don't know what's of record. And they might have the idea of, I'm going to buy this lot, I'm going to build this house on it, and without getting the insurance, maybe there's a view easement on there or there's something on the property that restricts people from building, you know, and that would totally negate what the new owner would be trying to do, right? If they went, okay, now we're going to build a house on this lot, they do a title search, and the search says that you can't build a house on this lot, or you can only build a house to this height. You know, that.
I hope that the agent they were working with.
I
hope the agent they were working with, broker, whoever did the contract, put all those contingencies in that contract.
Yeah.
That can be a huge. That's like a nightmare. You know.
Right.
I'm just thinking of other questions, but we're almost running out of time just now. Time goes by really fast. I was thinking about like views when buildings get built in front and things like that would not be covered because that's not dealing with the specific title, you know. We have buildings get sold with water views or oceanfront views, and then a building can go up in front and somebody has to do their own due diligence to make sure that something isn't going up in 5 or 10 years. Now, something like that wouldn't be covered on the title because it's not relating your specific property, right?
But sometimes it might show up because sometimes the originally it was a large lot, right? And so then the owner subdivided into two lots. Well, they built their house on the back lot, and on the front lot they reserved an easement where you cannot build past a certain height.
Oh.
So that would be a record, right? And that would show when you do the search, it would show up, oh, there's a restriction, a height restriction. And that was something that somebody could read and review to say, on this lot, the restriction is you can only build to this height. So it would show up in that case, right? And so if you
never
knew and you're just like, I want to buy the front lot because I'm going to build my house, my two-story house there, and all of a sudden you get the title report and it would show you there is a height restriction that you can't even build beyond this height. So sometimes that has happened too, especially on the ridges, you know.
Oh, the ridges have where you can't.
All those. Yeah, because
they want to keep the views, right? You can't put a...
Correct.
That'll even tell you where you can place the property. I mean, like, that's amazing. Yeah, please don't buy a property without them. And it's so important when you get the title work pulled to really read it, too, because a lot of people probably just come over it and let it go.
That's the second part, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Craig, how do people reach you if they want to contact you? And with Old Republic, you're handling it here in the state.
They can email me. And my email is cendo@ortc.com. If they have any questions, and we can definitely help them or do a little research if they want to as well. So cendo@ortc.com.
Okay, fantastic. And the phone number, too, we should give that, too.
Yep, 808-529-1139.
fantastic. The so is there anything else you want to add to what the title insurance? I think that we didn't.
You know,
cover.
I think that we pretty much covered most of it. I think it's something that you definitely should always get. There could be applicable credits, so it's not like the cost would be that significant. And it would give you that peace of mind, like any insurance, right? You wouldn't drive a car without auto insurance, and you wouldn't have a home without homeowner's insurance. So the same kind of thinking goes in my way. You wouldn't buy a house without title insurance because you never know. A lot of the risks are things that you cannot see. So it's not like you can go to the property and say, yeah, there is a easement restriction. Yeah, there is an encroachment. Yeah, there is, you know, some existing liens on the property. You cannot tell that. So the only way to really be sure is to ask and get a title policy.
Do your due diligence, dot your I's and cross
yes,
your T's,
correct.
Right? And
yeah.
And then have peace of mind. You can sleep at night when someone knocks on your door or sends you a letter later about the property. You can pull out your policy and say, just talk to them.
Call my title company, right.
pass the buck over and say, I paid for it. They can handle it, right?
That's correct.
Wow. Gosh, Craig, it's been a pleasure. I hope to have you back, and I hope to see you soon sometime since I'm here in Hawaii.
Yeah, definitely.
And
I was so excited
when I heard it because it was really good news. So thank you so much for coming on. And Julia I said hello. And, we're going to wrap up. So we're going to take a quick break here. And we'll go to the second half in 2 minutes.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
We are back to Realty Universal Radio, and that was such an interesting first half of the show. We had Craig Endo on with Old Republic Title and Escrow in Honolulu, Hawaii, talking about why you should buy title insurance. And we were talking about specifically you, a buyer, buying owner's title insurance. If you're taking out a loan, the lender is already going to request lender's title insurance. But if this is why, so hope you enjoyed the show and hope you listen in later too. We have a lot of archive listeners that listen to the show. And if you want to send your comments, we love them. You can send them to radio@realityuniversal.com. realityuniversal.com, or go to our site, send information in, give your opinion. We will definitely get back to you. We like to use it in the show as well. And on our second half of the show, what we're going to go over is, are you using your time to your highest and best use and dreaming? And what are the four P's? We'd love to hear if anybody knows what the four P's are that we're going to go over today, and how this can apply to you and your life. And so many people are dreaming about things they want to do in life, but then they never seem to get to it, and because day-to-day life happens. Things happen that stop us, but we know we have a yearning inside for something we're supposed to do. And even are you using the highest and best use of your time just day to day when you're, you know, making plans and what you're going to do, if you have to stop at three different places? Are you scheduling things to where you can make it happen in one trip instead of three different trips? Are you utilizing having people help you, friends, family, children? There's so many ways that you can get the highest and best use out of your time. and start living the dreams that you want to dream and want to do, and not keep putting things off in the future. So this is part of living with passion. And if anyone wants to call in, the call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. And we're going to get started. This is fun for me because I've always been about living on purpose, having a mission, and so much of it comes with our mindset, comes with living for a greater purpose, in planning our days, building a plan so that we can reach our goals. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with changing goals in midstream. And this can be, doing this is actually something you can do every day if you're doing something. It doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're planning. It's really important to write these things down and work through this. So I'll tell you, the four P's, the first one is passion. If you're going to do something, if you're, you know, you're cooking a wonderful dish, isn't it, you think, oh my gosh, some of this stuff is just day to day. Have passion, live with passion, and things can start changing. So if you have a desire to, you want to start a business, or you want to make something or do whatever, you know, and you have a passion about it, that's going to be so much different than if you're doing something you clearly don't like. We all are different. We all have our own unique personalities, our unique ways, and we shouldn't try to fit a square into a round circle. But at the same time, when you're going to, if you have something that you know you have passion about and that you want to do it, really look at that and think about how you can do it. Don't just not do it because you're afraid. Because even when you start doing something new, making a dish, even a recipe, you like to have a recipe or you want to find out what the ingredients are, or somebody should tell you how to put it together, or you open up the recipe and you make sure you have the ingredients and you plan, right? And then you put it together, and then you have to know how long to cook it and what to do and what to mix in together. That's no different from everything else we do in life. And it's really good to start looking at the things that you want to do and live with passion. And if somebody says to you, well, what are you doing that for? That doesn't look like fun. If it's not their passion, it's not going to be fun to them. Just ignore that. So passion is very, very important to have to be able to live your life at your highest and best use. And then comes possibility. Is there something you want to do that you just don't think you can do, or you don't have the time to do it? Maybe you want to learn how to dance. You want to cook something, or you want to take an acting class, or just anything. You want to write a story. Start going for it now. Don't wait till later, because you can do it in small segments. If you use the highest and best use of your time, you can find the extra 2 or 3 hours to take a dancing class a week, that you can find the time to start writing that book, writing that story. You can find the time to, you know, start on any, take a class. Nowadays, you can take classes right on the internet. So there's just so many ways to do things. And we're keeping it very general. We don't have very much time to go over this. I just wanted to throw this in today on the second half of the show, because we all can do it. And then it's a day-to-day process. And then comes life, and then changes, and unexpected happenings. And so if we work on living with passion every day, we can still get through it, we can work through it, and be amazed at the steps and the things that you've seen happen if you start working through these. The third P is purpose. What's the purpose? What's the end result? Why are you doing this? Are you doing it to, you know, please your family? You're making a special dish. Are you starting a business? Are you... You're going to take the dance lessons. Is it for you or for someone else? There's a purpose. There's always a purpose in why we do things. And see what your purpose is. You know, then the fourth P is to plan. Without a plan, you know how they say my people will fail. And even the smallest things need to be planned. we are such human beings are so good with thinking everything in our head and living in our head, and we do this constantly. And things get swirled around in our head, and without a plan, we really don't know how we're getting from point A to point B, et cetera. You see a baby, when a baby starts walking, the baby certainly doesn't just get up and walk. Your baby first crawls and takes baby steps and so on and so on. And when you look at anything you've ever done in your life, you can probably see how you've gotten, when you've done something with practice and practice and practice, you were so much better. Think about the first time you drove a car compared to how you are now. The first time you've done anything that you're used to doing constantly. And see what the purpose is and why you're doing that. Now, sometimes other people, family members, other people, other friends may have taught you a way of doing something, and there are other ways to do it too. So always go through your steps. When you're going through your steps and you're being detailed, you can do that. I heard a story the other day where somebody was saying that they always had a recipe in the family, and they always cut the ends off of the bread, and it went down generation and generation. I heard this on one of the seminar talks. And it went down generation and generation. And then the next person would say, why do they cut off the ends of the bread this way? Why do we make this recipe this way? And I don't know. That's how my mother made it. And, well, I don't know. That's how my grandmother made it. The grandmother was still alive. They said, why did you do it that way? Oh, my pan was too small, so I had to cut it off to fit into the pan. Now, it's kind of funny, but these are how a lot of things get started. But that's where we have to get in and see what our purpose is and what we're doing and what other possibilities there are for everything we're doing. So we're just having a short second half of the show here. The first half ran over and was wonderful and really important about title work. So just wanted to go over some of these items that happen a lot, and I see it a lot constantly in training agents and brokers. Part of why with our real estate menu systems, we have systems to teach people how to implement these programs into their business. Everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a mentor. And why do we need the coaches and mentors? I think we need them to learn. We need them to teach us how to do things, because why reinvent the wheel if somebody else has already gone through all the pain and struggle of doing it? But we mainly need them for accountability, because accountability to get us to plan, to get us to write down our goals, to get us to make action steps, to go through and chunk it with us and mentor us, et cetera. Because we're funny. We'll do things for other people usually that we won't do for ourselves. So when we, somebody's holding you accountable and, oh, I've got to have that paper done by then, or I have to finish this project by then, I have to do this, I have to do that, then it's you're accountable, and it's much easier. So I want to put this on the second half. Don't put off. Like sometimes everyone says, I'm going to put off. I'm not going to do this until then. I'm not going to do this until, 10 years from now. I'm not going to do this until 30 years from now or whatever. There's a lot of things that we can do when we live with passion and we do it on a day-to-day basis. Now, there's certain things that you definitely don't want to do and you're not interested in, and don't even go down that path. Don't let somebody take you down that path if you're totally not interested in it. But there's many more ways to do things, and it's really important. God bless Robin Williams. It was really shocking that he died. I had heard stories of the depression over the years, and it's a very serious thing. It's not something to take lightly. If anybody's having depression, it's really important to see counselors, to see the doctors, to see a minister, priest, but definitely go to a doctor, and to realize that there's another day. But a lot of times when people, they say, are in depressions, a lot of times it's because they can't control something. Something didn't work out the way they thought it was supposed to work out. They're maybe living in the past, not accepting what's happening today. But many times it's because they don't think they can change it. They think they're stuck. And you're never stuck. You can always make all kinds of changes. Even if, so it's a, everything's important, too, from cooking that recipe all to doing a business to helping with your children to how you live your life, where you live, where you go. You know, so you're never, never stuck, ever. There's always another day. There's always a brighter day. And sometimes if you're in a situation and it just seems so horrible, you really do need to get out of the situation because maybe that's God's plan and God's way and the universe's way of showing you that this isn't the right situation for you. So I'm giving my 2 cents worth on the second half of this call. So these are the 4 P's. Passion, possibility, purpose, and planning. Important to have passion. Important to believe in the possibilities. So many things wouldn't be created and invented if no one had the thought of possibilities. Because if we just go with what it is now and there's no better way to do it or other way to do it and it's not possible, then we wouldn't keep moving forward. We wouldn't have all these inventions and creations and everything. So definitely look at the possibilities. There's so many ways to do something. Purpose. When you have a purpose, like my purpose with Real Universal Menu Systems was never just about selling houses. If it was about selling houses, I would have quit a long time ago. It was about people and choices. And I live on God's plan. I love God with all my heart, and I believe we're supposed to serve. But that purpose and that passion has fueled me to keep going where some people would have just quit a long time ago. And I say that only because it's that passion and that drive and that will, that bigger purpose, you know, and it's not usually just about us. It's usually to serve and to help the greater good, to make changes that keeps you going, just like with our children, you know, how we keep going. So there's just so much you can look at to be able to do this. So that's it, the passion, possibility, purpose, and planning. Easy to start, you know, it's what they say, the shortest pencil's better than the longest memory. You know, start planning, get on your computer and write it out with a pen and paper. What makes your heart sing? What do you think you'd like to do? So you can do this. You can create something, and if something's even, it's just the smallest thing, it'll make you really start seeing the changes you can have and that you're able to do yourself and get through and get a mentor, get a coach, and live with passion. Just always live with passion. You want to change your life and don't settle for less. Don't settle for mediocre because it's all right in front of you and it's all very doable to make it happen. So we are going to wrap up this call in just a few minutes here. I'm just going to recap. The first half of our program was about title insurance, owner's title insurance and lender's title insurance. Owner's title insurance, if you're a buyer buying a property, you definitely want to have it. I've never seen any situation where you shouldn't have it. It is definitely worth its weight in gold. There's on the owner's title insurance, you can always, some of the questions you want to ask is what is the cost for extended title insurance that covers you after you buy the property? The owner's title insurance still covers you after you buy the property for anything that happened that was not, anything that happened with the deed and the title that didn't, say somebody didn't, was the wrong person set in, somebody wanted to come back and claim that property, or there were things listed and maybe loans that weren't paid off. So there's a lot of coverage. There could be encroachments or easements if they weren't excluded. A lot of things are covered in that policy. But do your homework, and definitely I wouldn't recommend ever buying a property without it. It's worth its weight in gold. And the 5 P's, again, passion, possibility, purpose, and planning. Add your own. You know, you can add your own, do things you just want to. You know, some of us, we have different ways we do these things, but when you start making action steps and you start writing a plan, and then it's so neat when you say, wow, I did it. Today's August 13, 2014, and now I'm really going to do it. How many of us on the call, and I can say myself included, have made plans, have made goals, and said, I'm going to do it. And then we get sidetracked, and this happens and that happens, and we never see it through. I mean, I'm very guilty of that over the years. I've gotten much better about it. But they say 90-some% of the people do not reach their goals, and it's not because they're not reachable. It's because they don't have a game plan. They're not living it on passion and possibility, purpose. They're not writing it down, and then not using their day-to-day time to the highest and best use of their time, which is really important. Just I give you a test just to try to start writing some things down and see. It doesn't matter what it is, and take that time for you. And when you're doing your day, see if there's better ways you can use your time, if there's anybody you can delegate to. It doesn't always cost money to delegate, you know. See if there's a better way you can do something, even shopping in the grocery store, you know, how you do it. And just if you start doing that, you go, wow, there's just so many different little things I can do. And then it gives you the confidence to do the bigger things. It gives you the confidence to step out and live at your highest and best use of life. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.